Blog Talk Radio.
Watching you as you're dreaming, the dreams I thought I knew. Your smile shows the reason I watched it all come true. Your touch is cold and distant,
everyone. That was The Words You Cannot Say, a poem written by Jay Hatter and then sung and put to music by Shout Even Shy. Great song that we hear most nights when we start our show. This is Deborah Lee and you're listening to A Team of Voices Radio. We are sponsored by the A.P. Taylor Poetry Foundation and we hang out at allpoetry.com, one of the largest sites out there to write poetry on, and it's free to join. And if you join or are already a member, you can find us under the group tabs. Just click A Team of Voices and I'll meet you at the door. And in the chat room, you can follow along on the poems that we share because we put the links for those poems on the chat wall. If you would like to call in and join us, that number is 1-646-668-2837. Again, that's 1-646-668-2837. And at the moment, we are involved in a series where each week I offer up about 10 quotes from the poets that we hang out with, and I also offer up art, and I ask the poets to choose a piece of art and a quote or quotes from the list and combine them to inspire them and bring their outcome. And the series has been extremely successful, and the poetry that has been inspired by our fellow poets has been amazing. Week after week, I can't help but be impressed at the skill of the people that call in and hang out with us and the inspiration from our fellow poets. And tonight, the quote from the poetry that we are all inspired by is by the poet Poetic Picasso. And we had 10 really great quotes to choose from. And then I offered up a list of art from a new artist that I stumbled on. His name is Stephen Goad, G-O-A-D, and he had a remarkable variety of art to pick from. So I tried to spread out different possibilities. So I am thinking that tonight will be no exception to the rule. You are in for a treat with some outstanding poetry. And with that being said, there's a lot of poems on the board, so I'm going to get show underway. And I'm going to say hey to my big brother, Hatter, who wrote the song we just listened to. Hey, Hatter, welcome to the show.
Hi, Deb.
You beat me to the studio. Yeah, I've been running a little bit behind today. Happens sometimes, you know. And then right behind Hatter, Poetic Slice of Life, our dynamic duo, Kay, and her hubby, Steven. Hey, guys, welcome to the show. Glad you're here.
Hello.
It has been one crazy day here, so let's hope it smooths out a little and we can just have fun with some poetry. Now, I am on my way to the board to grab Kay's poem, and I'm going to put that on the board, and she can tell us what quote she chose, and then she can show us what she brought. So, Kay, if you would, please kick us off.
Okay, yeah, I chose a quote, "The fountains of the gardens are full of the midnight rain," and I call this Zephyr Embolism of Squires. Weather glass polytechnics, with cattails gently sway in the sound of still water. Earthward spindles rest in the apothecary brainchild's noble heart. Golden rays periscope in the gout of flame. Candle power, clockworks, make quick haste and vex in the day. Rivets cause the shadows and scold in defiance. Filaments of eye, fables of shirtwaist. Plummets of dame nature, the sheer line of Ava tricks will not be mistaken. End quote.
I love the title, Zephyr Embolisms, Esquires. Really, really cool title. Weather glass is a really interesting thing because for some reason with that, my mind went to, like if you put a rod in the sand at the beach and it gets struck by lightning, there's this beautiful sculpture that is sometimes referred to as weather glass. So it kind of made me think of that for some reason. And the cattails gently sway in the sound of still waters, and the vision there is quite beautiful, the cattails swinging back and forth. In the line by itself, golden rays periscope in the goats of flames. I love the thought of that, the periscopes. It's a really, really clever metaphor there. And rivets cog the shadows in scolding defiance. Also, really, really cool. You have such a way with metaphors that I've never seen anybody be able to write such a beautiful poem that was filled with so many different metaphors in one poem. And then because there are so many metaphors, the interpretation is so open to where that metaphor takes the readers that it's like you have this incredible plethora of ways to go and be taken on a visual journey just because of those. And that takes some skill. So I'm always impressed, especially with the metaphors. But I'm noticing there that this is on your good, bad, and ugly list, which means there's not a whole lot of words there to use so few and rack up the tens the way you do it is impressive. So excellent share. And I think it spoke beautifully to the quote that you chose, too. Thank you so much. And let me grab a call in the studio before I get some comments. Infinite, is that you?
It is. It is.
Welcome to the show. Glad you're here. Just about
thank
to get a couple comments. I'm sorry?
I was just saying thank you for I'm glad to be here. I was saying thank you for having me.
Oh, my pleasure. And I'm just about to get a couple comments for Kay. So, Hatter, what did you think?
Yeah, Kay's metaphors are unique, like you said. The golden rays periscoping, gouts of flames, quite an image. Kind of power clockworks, make quick haste and vexing the day. Yeah, very good, Kay. Showing off. Thank you.
Thank you.
Awesome comment. And Infinite, were you here in time to hear the poem, or I'm not sure when you arrived?
I did not hear all of it. However, I backtracked by clicking on the link to read what I missed. And I'll be honest with you, my first, my favorite part is actually those first lines, the weather glass, polytechnics. I don't know, man. I know you kind of spoke on this already, Deb, but I don't know if you were talking about her skin or not, but I got this just this intricate feeling of like just crystal clear, vibrant, almost like fireworks would be so bright and vibrant to her skin tone and the colors that are present there. I don't know. I mean, maybe I'm just kind of reaching a little too far, but that right there just kind of stood out to me.
Thank you.
Awesome comment. And Stephen, while I grab your link, will you comment for Kay?
Well, yeah, I thought that this is a not only a perfect right to the picture, but also to the quote. And I thought that it was a beautiful mix of nature and emotions, as you seem to have you have a knack for that. And I can definitely see it here as well.
Awesome comment. And did you want to tell us what's happening before or after you read?
I can do it before. Why not? So let's see. What slice of life this week? Wednesday, 7:30 p.m. Eastern as of right now. It is going to be a movement of sound, and it's going to be my annual Billy Joel show. And this year we're going to feature the album Piano Man. So all the songs that are on that album, we're going to listen to them, learn about them, and we can read some poems inspired by those songs. And, of course, you can bring any poem that's related to any Billy Joel song if you want, and just come hang out and listen to the music. Let's see, and then Thursday is Storyboards with Sky Darkholm, and it's going to be Star Wars Volume 19, Episode 4, The Empire Strikes Back. Movie rights, scene rights, character rights, quote rights. Come and geek out with Sky Thursday at 8 p.m. Eastern. And that's what we got this week.
Sounds like a plan. All right, so if you would tell us what quote you chose and then show us what you brought, please.
The quote that I chose, let me get down here, is the Merlot vapors of the river turn the red roses into burnt black dahlias. And I know that Frank's out there listening, and I want to let him know that I put a little treat in here because I know that what his favorite part of The Lord of the Rings is with Tom Bombadil, so I had to include him in this. And I call this From Hobbit Shire to Mordor's Fire. To Mordor we go, across the Shire and hills, veiling selves from ringwraiths on steeds with their eardrum-shattering shrills. Across the river of Brandywine, of Bree with their taverns and pints, meeting with ranger of striding gait, who offers his sword and might. At Weathertop, where Frodo's stung by Nazgul's mortal knife, shielded by the Aquamares by Strider's future wife. Off to Rivendell and Paradise stands Tomba Domba Billy, where waterfalls and flowers flow and elvish food so frilly. The birds do sing and the fish do jump, placidity in its splendor, Isildur's blade in pieces laid, fellowship conjoins in force. On through mountains and Moria mines, through rolling fields of Rohan, Helm's Deep battle and walking trees, Minas Tirith, Gordien. Past Osgiliath and the Black Gate, through the spider's sting, into the fires atop Mount Doom, and destroy the Golden Ring. End poem.
Wow, talk about some incredible visuals through this one, too. It's like, right from the title, from Hobbit Shire to Mordor's Fire, the rhyme there is really cool. And then you jump into the story, to Mordor's we go, across the Shire and hills, veiling selves from ring race and steeds with their eardrums shattering shrills. So, like, even just in the first stanza, you hit us with sights and sounds to pull in the senses and make us want more. And then you had the rangers riding in, and you had the shielded by Aquamares, by Strider's future wife. But the Aquamares just sounds so gorgeous. And there was a little bit of a silliness to Sans, Tumba, Doomba, Dilly. It was like the noise of the, well, it is a noise, Tumba, Doomba, Dilly. I got a real kick out of that noise for some reason. The words you chose to make the noise were fun. And Helm's Deep battle and walking trees. The walking trees, I remember seeing different pictures of those, and the thought of that tickles me for some reason. I wish sometimes that the trees could, and that sometimes you find yourself sitting there, or I do, just listening to the wind, and you hope to one day catch those trees moving. And, I mean, I realize in my head that what that really means when they say that the trees are moving in reality is when they drop seeds or stuff to grow saplings, and then it spreads them, and they actually do move across the states. But the thought of them just up, pulling their roots a little and moving to where they want to be, maybe a better spot or near the water more, is like, you know, how my heart wants to see the trees moving. So it was really cool. You sent all kinds of visuals through my head with this one. And I kind of liked the way you tied it into the Hobbits and stuff, because it gave it a, I guess, a credence or a history or something, for lack of a better way to put it. But I thought that this was a really, really clever story, right? And I was very impressed. Great job. Let me get you some comments. Hatter?
Yeah, I wish I knew more about the story. But I do remember the battle scene, the trees sweeping the soldiers. Boy, that was pretty epic. But yeah, nice rhyme throughout the poem. Nice job.
Thanks, Heather.
Great comment. And Infinite?
Man, I really, really wish I knew more about Lord of the Rings. Honestly, that's one of the few franchises that I haven't really dug off into. But I will say this, that your use of imagery and word mechanics here is definitely on point. Like when Deb pulled up the Tumba Doomba Dilly, it's just got a really nice rhythm to it. Not sure exactly what that means, but I still enjoy when somebody incorporates rhythm within their lines. I can't really do it. I try, and then most of the time, if I do have it in there, it's accidental. All in all, it's a great write. I'm going to have to say that I will come back to this once I have more Lord of the Rings education.
Cool, thanks.
cool comment. And Kay?
Well, I would have to agree with that. I don't know. Okay.
I don't think that was meant for us. Go ahead.
Okay. I would have to agree with everybody. I don't know too much about the story, but what I do know is that with people who are so inspired to this day and honoring the story and building rights around it, it does keep Tolkien, you know, timeless as far as being remembered. And it creates a new generation of people to appreciate his work too. And that's what you did here by bringing in, you know, Lord of the Rings, or The Hobbit, which one?
It was Lord of the Rings.
Okay, yeah. It reads pretty. Yeah. It's a good thing.
Thanks. And if I might, I'll just let everybody know that I think one of Frank's favorite parts of it was there's a character in the book named Tom Bombadil. He wasn't in the movie, and he sang his song, "Oh Tom Bombadil, Tom Badombadilly." So that's what that was from.
Oh, cool. Yeah, because I think I might have seen one and a part of this one or that one, you know, like clicking through. But I don't remember the song, but there was just something so fun and kind of silly feeling about it. So it worked really well, and it helped. Like I said, it was like a treat for the senses as you were reading. And okay, now I threw mine up there to get it done, and you know, I didn't sit down to try and turn this into like a soapbox poem. But something happened along the way where I was writing and I had like five or six of the quotes, and then something different struck me. So I am down to three of them, and the tainted skies are covered with the darkness of death, and the sonorous sounds of thunder echoes violent screams. And the fountains of the gardens are full of midnight rain, and we drifted far beyond the clouds of the periwinkle skies, painting with the brush of tomorrow the colors of our rainbow. So I started with those colors, and then it sort of changed on me, and I even had to go and change my art. So you got to follow the muse, you know? But this is called Sudden Storm at Sea Can Kill. And here we go. We lay tanning on the beach blanket at the Jersey shore, with the sea breezes cooling pinkening flesh as they blow. Then we drifted far beyond the clouds of the periwinkle skies, painting with the brush of tomorrow the colors of our rainbow. Those daydreams are broken by the wind from brewing storm, blowing sand grains onto our skin that sticks to suntan lotion. As the ground vibrates from the thunder we hear, we head for shelter. Now, spidering neon lightning lines touch down in the ocean. Skies are covered with the darkness of death, and the sonorous sound of thunder echoes violent screams from bolts igniting fire on board the sailboat on the landscape, sinking as Coast Guard boats race to them between neon beams. In the debris, the Coast Guard finds two of the three sailors alive, floating on the broken hull marked in black from the burn stain. Rain clouds water yellow roses blooming at the beach cottage as the fountains of the gardens are full of the midnight rains. And poem. And I don't know, like I said, I don't know where the change happened in my muse. I was headed for, you know, to try and go with the periwinkle and the rainbows, and then it just changed, and I saw it as a way. I don't know, you know, you don't really think about it, but the Coast Guard rescues tens of thousands of people in the United States every single year, and it just turned into a way to give a little nod to those heroes. So you never know, but you got to follow the mules, right? So, like, yeah. And I am going to let Mr. A.P. Taylor in. Hey, A.P., welcome to the show.
How are you?
I'm doing well. How about you?
Yeah, good. Thank you. Yeah, good. That was an interesting poem, Deb. I So it did sort of take a right turn at Albuquerque, didn't it? Because I was sort of expecting it to be the we're all doing the beach trip in Jersey and the clouds are really fun and cool and all the colours are really nice, and then all of a sudden we're saving people out from sinking ships.
Yeah, I think that's how it struck me, because from one minute to the next, you just never know, and you, everything could be sunshine and roses one minute, and then a cloud hits and a storm, and you know what I mean? So it just, like I said, somehow it turned into a nod to the Coast Guard. But anyhow,
interesting. So, these things happen. These things happen. They're meant to happen. They sort of work that way.
Yeah, and it's those unexpected things that we wouldn't know what to do with if not for the Coast Guard, you know?
Correct.
Anyway, hope you feel better, Hatter. Let me let Wayne in.
Hey, Deb, we gotta hit the road, but we'd like to comment on the phone real quick before we go.
Okay, Wayne, hello.
Hey, how y'all doing?
Good. Did you get my message? I'm sorry I got yours so late.
I'm watching the ball game. I didn't look at it yet. My computer broke, so I just kind of be on the phone tonight, and it'd be hard to make comments because I can't even see the poems, but I'm here.
Okay, well, I'm glad you're here. And Stephen, go ahead, please.
Okay, why don't you go first?
Well, yeah, I will say with Frank's quote, you did give a good vision of the water, because it can be pretty, but it also can be frightening. And at the end of the year, you don't think about it, but there are literally stories every year about those being lost in the waters or meet in a tragic end. But you also hear those stories of those people being rescued. I just read a story this morning about the two people that were rescued from Lake Erie over the weekend because of, an accident they had when boating. So, yeah, these are things you just don't think about. But every year, this time of year, the waters can be choppy. So in between the beauty, it's also about being careful. That way you don't have to know what it's like to be rescued by the Coast Guard or to meet, an untimely end. Mm-hmm. This is a great right. It really gives a lot to it with the good and the bad, but also bringing it full circle with the Coast Guard.
Yes.
Great comment.
And I agree. I agree. I think that it's a wonderful piece that starts off so peaceful, and then you bring in that fury that Mother Nature can unleash at a moment's notice. And then, of course, finally, you pay homage to the Coast Guard, who do risk their lives for us constantly. And I don't think they get the kudos that they deserve for it. So, yeah, I think this is a great, very well done.
Awesome. Appreciate that. And it's really true. If you notice, a lot of times when we do, say, Memorial Day things or Veterans Day things, quite often they talk about Army, Navy, Air Force, Marines, but they don't always mention the Coast Guard. And that's where I was led, so that's where I went. But thank you both. I will see you Wednesday. And appreciate you. Take care. Love and respect.
Love and respect. Good night, everybody.
Bye.
Good night.
Okay, now let me see here. AP, can you put yours directly on the chat wall and then tell us what quote you're
doing? I will. A couple of things to explain about this one. I changed my mind on this poem too. This is to the quote, "Hear the rave call of the gull drifting swiftly near the shore." And I have actually gone off and got another image by Steve Goad called Murphy's Poster, which is the image that I have used. So they're the two little bits. This is Shepherd's Delight, which I'll try and do a little bit slower and more appropriately since it's a poem for Frank. And it goes a little bit like this. Upon the hill of a derelict town stands a church, its boards loose in the shearing breezes. as the beams flap on their iron nails still perch, the building calls and sings as a gull when wheezes. Speaking of the fall of this town to the disease, disfigured and maimed, leaving little but bones. This, despite the services, the hymns and pleas, congregation is buried roughly below stones. The last barely markers as strength to dig waned, the graves shallow and bones left to protrude. Through coarse grey soils, once blood-stained, did the ghosts and the phantoms soon intrude, sing and carousing in the thick, foggy airs. Upon this heavy ark, drifted swiftly near shore, are pining in tune to birds missing among lairs, and those once residents, whether rich or poor. Blood rises while droplets gather into a fine mist from the consort of the building with its ghosts. Crimson dissolves to eaves pink by a sun-kissed, clouds giving delight as the shepherd's last post. End poem.
Well, you know, I have to say that the slowed down read added to like the suspense of what might be coming next. Let me finish my comment in a minute, and let's say hello to Chaos. Hello, Chaos. Welcome to the show. I'm glad you're here. I hope you can hear me because I can't hear you.
I'm sorry.
Okay.
Hello.
That's okay.
I muted
hello.
Myself because I wasn't. I didn't hear unmuted, and so I prayed that you would hear background noise if I was unmuted unknowingly.
Sometimes people don't hear it, but yes, you are here, and I'm glad you're here, and I'm just about to comment for AP. In the middle there, the third stanza, last barely markers as strength to dig waned, the grave shallow and bones left to protrude through coarse gray soils once blood-stained, did the ghost and the phantom soon intrude. There's such a spookiness there. There was already sadness at the thought of digging the graves and whatnot, but then with the protruding bones and stained in blood and the thought of the ghosts and the phantoms, I mean, just that one is full of all kinds of spookiness. And then the following one as well, dancing and carousing in the thick, foggy airs upon this heavy ark drifted swiftly near shore, are pining in tune to birds missing among lairs and those once residents, whether rich or poor. And that part speaks to me of, you know, when it's something like this, it doesn't matter how much money you have or don't have, you can't do anything about it. It's just gloom and doom. And there was also, there was a haunting sadness in slowing down the read the way you did as well. So that was kind of a clever choice. And then, of course, you know, your rhyme and stuff is always spot on, but it you don't dabble into the, I think you call it the gray area, to the darkness very often. But when you do, you bring it.
No.
And I think this is a really, really great it speaks very well to the art and the quote that you chose from Frank. So great share. And what you think, Infinite?
Man, I'm not sure what caused the death of the ones on the shore. I kind of feel like maybe a hurricane might actually be applicable here. But what I do know is just the different nuances you bring to the table for each portion. The descriptions are just on point. I can literally see shallow graves with bones left to protrude because the tide may have washed the cemetery out, you know, to some extent. I can, I could see and almost hear and feel every aspect of this. I love that. I mean, I can't even begin to describe. AP, I love your writing. And then to go from what I normally hear from you is, you know, airy and usually of some semblance of a happy nature, to be able to write this type of darkness yet still with such a beautiful pen, it just speaks volumes of your talent, AP. I mean, I love it. Great job. Excellent write.
Thank you very much. Thank you.
Awesome comment. And Wayne, I know you can't quote lines, but you want to give a comment?
Yeah, that was a pretty nice poem. I liked it. Anytime you can mention protruding bones in a poem, you get everybody's attention off the bat. That's one caught me off guard a little bit in the shallow graves. And it was good reading. And I like the way you slowed it down and talked. It's kind of a morbid sound to it. And you fit the poem perfectly. Good job, AP.
Yeah, thanks, Wayne. Thank you. The one thing that Frank does unbelievably well is how he matches his tone to the poem that he's giving. And so I sort of played a bit of a nod to Frank and tried to be a little bit better at matching today.
You did a good job.
Great comment. And Chaos, what do you think?
I have to agree with the opposite effect there from AP. I'm so used to him being a happy poet, and for him to fall onto the dark side, yeah, kind of surprised me. And how, wow, he shocked me. But it was so effective. It weighed so heavily. I just wrote him a comment on there, but it really weighed heavily on you. It's and the way he read it is it just was really effective in bringing out the imagery of how dark and somber this imagery is, and I really, really liked it. Great job, baby.
Thank you, Chaos. Thank you.
Come, Taylor, join the dark side.
Very cute. And as I said, I think, you know, in homage to Frank, I mean, every time he comes and gives us a poem, he matches his voice, he matches his tone, he matches his speed to what he's written. And you know, if I've learnt one thing off Frank, quite apart from his wonderful use of language, it's how he comes and presents that so incredibly professionally each time, you know, he comes on the show. And you know, it's something we can all strive to and look forward to, is that professionalism that Frank brings to his recordings.
Cool comment. He was saying on the board that sometimes he forgets he's an actor, but we don't. We all are always impressed, and his presentations are memorable, so we didn't forget, even if he did. But, yeah,
no.
Great read. And I think you said you had to take off, so I appreciate you calling before you did.
No, thank you again. Thanks for the prompt.
Thank you, and love and respect, and we'll talk soon.
Thank you, and thanks to Frank, and we'll talk soon. Thanks, everybody.
Night.
Take care.
See you later.
Okay, now the next poem on the board is by Infinite Destruction, and he sent us a SoundCloud. And the quote that he wrote too is, he was condemned to the darkness of the centuries of endless horror. So if you click on that link, I will push play and we'll listen to the presentation. Here we go.
Forevermore. To know me forevermore, thyself shall forget thyself. To hear me, ye shall know no more. Mine presence is only once felt, but once felt, thou hast never felt, and shan't forevermore. A screeching sound upon thy ears alone shall fall. Upon thy ears such fear I must deliver. Fear not, forevermore fear, and all ends with my call. My call is feared by all, heard or not, all shall quiver. Cause to this essence hath I been sentenced, to atone my sins of seeking winds of eternal life, by whom I know not, for I would offer repentance, a small penance to be rid of such sorrow and strife. Dost thou not understand? Care thee not. Aptly so I know 'tis a burden thou shan't bear forevermore, and forevermore I implore, but I know I cannot, to make thee the last I render and deliver unto that forevermore. Some shall bleed, I wish I could grant, to be left to be, forevermore, ne'er undone. And some mirror that, offering unto me their hand, a peace to them awaits, their forevermore hast begun. My feathers are forbidden, for thy quill couldst be stilled. The swan, I envy, beauty and grace, forevermore adored. But I am the raven, ever hated, a flower born to wilt, condemned forevermore to serve such darkness as my lord. Now thou dost know me, but thyself ye didst forget. Mine words thou hast heard, but ye shall hear them no more. Thy life I've carried here, it shall be as if we had never met. Thine own, but never mine, I welcome thee unto that shore forevermore.
Wow. Talk about a theatrical read. The voice you used gave it the tones of like a Poe / Frank Wright, because sometimes he puts on that deep, scratchy, scary kind of voice too. Between the details here, cursed to the essence, hatched, I've been sentenced to atone my sins of seeking wind of eternal life, by whom I know not, for I would offer repentance, a small penance to be rid of such sorrow and strife. Even your wording there has like a touch of a Poe-ness. And then, what was it, almost to the end there, my feathers are forbidden, for thy quill couldst be stilled. The swan I envy, beauty and grace, forevermore adored. But I am the raven, ever hated, a flower born to wilt, condemned forevermore to serve such darkness as my lord. I mean, seriously, you could... If I read this on my own and I wasn't shown who it was, I could have been convinced that this was a Poe write. I think that you did a really, really stand-up job here. And again, your presentation was brilliant. Great share. Thank you so much. Let me get you some comments.
Thank you.
My pleasure. Wayne, what you think?
I thought it was Edgar Allan Poe all the way through. It was a great interpretation of Edgar Allan Poe. His read reminded me of Frank, so it's kind of, he's got two of the masters kind of combined together there. He did a good job with this, and I liked it all the way through, and he's good wording, and his voice was just a great voice and great production. There was nothing I didn't like about it. Great job.
awesome
Thanks,
comment.
Man.
And Chaos?
Well, I've already commented on this at the bottom of it, but I absolutely love this piece. Absolutely. I'm Raven. So this poem written in from the point of view of one just absolutely stunned me. I mean, I just it was just like the most sought after comment from me is sitting in silent awe. And as I wrote at the bottom, I would leave silence if it wasn't for it being about a raisin. And because of my love of ravens and that they follow me everywhere. So this poem would in fact have earned the sitting in silent awe comment had it not been for the subject matter. That's how much I loved it.
Thanks. Thank you. Thank you so much.
Excellent comment. So ravens follow you around, huh?
They do. At least the last 3 or 4 houses that I've lived in, I have had yards full of them.
I kind of
so they're going to fresh murder.
It creeps people out. It creeps people out.
Oh, I like it.
I find them absolutely beautiful. If my black cats and my ravens creep people out, they can just stay away. So,
amen.
So your yard is a constant murder scene for them.
It is. Murder, yes, there's a murder in my front yard constantly.
Very cool. There's a pair that visits my backyard when I toss out the movie theater popcorn, and one of them has a white patch, and of course it's, you know, probably considered a flaw, but I find it fascinating because it's so identifiable, and it's just one almost rectangular shape on one of the wings, and they're so beautiful, and their size, and there's something about their beak, and I like when they visit too, so I guess twin crazy, maybe, I don't know, but yeah, really, really cool. Let me see here. All right, let me okay, I have 2 sleepy poets in the chat room, so I'm going to get them heard. In the meantime, Chaos, if you want to go and add your picture to your poem, you can now, and then I'll grab the link for you.
I did. Thank you so much.
Okay.
I hate to read and dash, but it's getting late, and I've got to get up at in the next 8 hours, and I have not eaten supper nor taken care of making sure I have everything ready for the next day. So it has been a joy as always.
I'd rather have a read and dash than a you couldn't show up. So I appreciate it very much.
I'm glad I got here soon enough to be able to leave some comments to others before I had to go. So that makes me feel like I contributed at least something other than just a read.
Well, again, very appreciated. And you get some, well, do what you got to do and then get some sleep.
I appreciate y'all. Y'all have an incredible night. It's been great. Thank y'all.
We dream.
Good night.
Okay. That leaves me, Wayne, and Chaos, because Hatter wasn't feeling well, so he had to go. And I just put the poem by Titus on the board. So if you guys click on there, I will push his sound that he sent for us. And let me see here. I know he has two quotes: a headless bandit upon a sable stallion riding forth like a fierce wind blowing, and listen to the sorrow of a violin with sobbing strings that play. So those are the two quotes by Frank that he chose, and I will push play right now.
And with this quote arose the confines of an 18th century wrapped within the modern day thing, unfathomed as a keepsake, a dispensary of whether it is sure to find that dream, the all-frequent remarks of one's intent, to which headless warriors are to blame courtly low. It will conform the lament, indelible a landmark, to low thy name. An early kiss became a morning breeze, rejoiced, how truthful this a poet pleads, the burlap vapors spreads a kindly tease. Incentives to conform to all your needs. All poetry gave me the best of both worlds. Sonorous sounds bequeath a trailing rose, such is love. With meaning each unfolds the many strings a sobbing violin chose. And if is what the reasons were I wrote, the past I would bequeath one day to be, to have a quainter future with this quote, this rose of mine, to have you think of me.
Wow. You know, before I comment on the poem itself, I say it all the time, but it's I really like to listen to him read. There's a calming tone in his voice and this this classy way of how he words things. I like the beginning here, the confines of an 18th century wrapped within the modern day theme, unfathomed as a keepsake, a dispensary of whether it's a sure to find that dream. Unfathomed as a keepsake. I love that phrase there. And down a little further, an early kiss became a morning breeze, rejoiced. How truthful this, a poet pleads. The verlot vapor spread and kindly tease. Incentives do conform to all your needs. I like that too, that the incentives do conform to all your needs has a sensual undertone there. And I thought that was very clever. And such is love, with meaning each unfolds the many strings a sobbing violin chose. The thought of the unfolding during the violins and the sobbing that ties in from the quote is really, really beautiful. And if it was the reasons were I wrote, the past I would bequeath one day to be, to have a future, with the quote, the rose of mine, to have you think of me. The romantic notion in that last line, the rose of mine, to have you think of me. Like, you look at that rose, and any time you ever see the rose, think of me. And there's, it's such a beautiful, romantic thought to end the poem with. So between the visuals and the sentiment and a couple of the really, really brilliant metaphors, this poem is awesome. And indelible, a landmark. I mean, such beautiful, beautiful wording. And again, it's always a joy to listen to him read. I was never as happy as I was when he started making the SoundClouds for us, because hearing the poet read their own work adds so much to the poem. And listening to Titus read is a fine example of that. Great share. What do you think, Cass? Are you muted again?
Yes, I am. I'm sorry. I do that because my daughter sneaks in and out of the room. Wow. The last bit is a bit emotional. I'm sorry. Could you have someone else do it, please?
Sure. Wayne, tell us what you thought.
Yes, tonight we ought to be pretty honored. We got Titus writing to a quote from Frank. I mean, that's two of the greatest poets on site we got. They're both professionals, and they're both perfect at their art. And to have one writing about the other's quote is kind of a unique circumstance. I kind of felt privileged. I wrote tributes to both of those poets because I can see them top of the list to me. And I wrote a tribute. In fact, I'll give you a copy of the tribute I did for Frank. And I did one for Titus, too. And they're two of the best on site we got here, I think. And to have one of them talk, write a poet, so write about the other one's quote is kind of unique and special, I think. They both are great, and I like both of them's work. And Titus is always does good. He's smooth and has great wording, and he's one of the best poets I've ever heard. So I feel privileged back here with one talking about the other's quote. So great job.
That was a really good point, Wayne. The fact that their poetry is very different. You know. Both are great poets, but in completely different ways. And it is kind of, it's really awesome to hear what one of the poets inspires in another one. And to take some of the dark words that were chosen and turn it into the poem that ends with that beautiful line about the rose and having you think of me, it was pretty incredible too. So yeah, great comment. And,
yeah, great voices. Great voices.
Yeah, I agree. Yeah, I love listening to him read. And it's a very quiet studio tonight with just us, so I am going to go grab another poem. But I am going to say thank you, Titus. Get some rest and sweet dreams. Appreciate the support. And, okay, let me grab Pee-wee's poem because he would like to go to bed as well because it's a work night and I am headed there. And Pee-wee, here it is. And he has a SoundCloud for us as well. And I don't see, let me see here, if he wrote the quote he chose on the board before I post it here. Okay, now I don't see which quote, but that is okay. I am bringing it to the board so we can follow along. And I know Pee-wee says dumb work. Well, we got to eat, so we got to do something, right? Okay, now there is, that's all right, it's all right. There's the poem link, and if you guys click on that, I will go over here and start the SoundCloud. Here it is. Here we go.
I recount a legendary forbidden tale of sin. Many have heard, none still survive today. As it begins, listen to the sorrow of a violin, those lonesome notes. Sobbing strings that play. Outside, the tainted skies are covered with blackest darkness. At hand, death. And the sonorous sound of thunder echoes screams, then gasping for breath.
Raven swoops in to escort another below. Guide to afterlife soon comes for all of you. Vapors of the river shimmering merlot turn red roses into burnt black dahlias. Occam straight razor used to slice them down. Stroke smooth, cuts clean, no blood on gown. Piles up the bodies forming a blue body wall. His moment of conception sealed fate for all. Tonight, like poetry in motion, he will dance and sing and lake about and make romance to the knell of his own sweet muse of death. Tolling the bell, everyone's arrival, Sam's breath. And it is indeed the most splendid of shows, most exquisite of dances of death ever known. Never again would they call him Johnny Blade. After tonight's death toll, he's surgeon, to say. Quite befitting one so elegant, regal, and renowned. Rightly 37 dead tonight, still a clean gown. Motion's second nature with knife sharp and true. Leaves behind fields of bodies, swollen and blue. A scarf always worn tells fragments of his tale. Scarred, pitted, sliced, maimed, a dark gray fable. Came to town, rope and gallows, leaves it sanitized. Mark of the beast birthmark, murder in his eyes.
Oh, that was unexpected. Wow. You know, this was another really theatrical read where I noticed the change in the voice. To be honest, when it first started, I thought, oh, no, did I hit the wrong? And then I, you know, of course, I saw the words and I knew I didn't. But the time and effort put into to the sounds and the change in voices is not only noticed but very appreciated. I just thought I'd say that first. And I like the story. I recount a legendary forbidden tale of sin, and then I noticed the things like the sorrow of the violin, which is one of the quotes, and there was something about the black dahlia and the red roses, and I remembered that. So I see that they might not be listed at the bottom, but they are incorporated into the story, into the stanzas, which is very cool. I like the visuals of the raven swoops in to escort another below guide to the afterlife soon comes for all of you. Vapors of the river shimmering Merlot turned red roses into the black dahlias. So I like how you put for all of you to match the dahlia, which it did. I mean, it was a very, very clever write and read. Tonight, like poetry in motion, he will dance and sing and leap about and make romance. You brought us a tale filled with rich images and even some sounds, and you could almost think about smelling the dahlias and the roses, well, the rose colors. But it was just like a really great story. And the closing stanza, scarf always worn, tells fragments of his tale, scarred, pitted, sliced, maimed, a dark gray fable. I mean, deep, powerful imagery in it. I think you did a fantastic job, Pee-wee, and again, I appreciate the sound clouds and the extra effort with the voices, and you did a fantastic job with the quotes. Thank you so much. Wayne, what you think?
Well, one thing about Pee-wee, he has a great knack for making these, writing these sounds, doing these sound clouds. He seems to me that he starts off like you're right in the middle of the poem, and then he kind of fades back and he has the narrative voice where he's telling you what's happening. That kind of reminds me of Alfred Hitchcock's shows where he comes in, he talks this great narrative, and he said, now, sit back and enjoy the show, the season, and it just kind of leads right into, like you're getting ready to watch a movie. He's got such good narrative that when he changes that voice back to his narrative, he's just like, he's telling you what's going to happen and how it's happening and why it's happening. He does a great job of it. He's got a great voice to do that with, and kind of reminds me of Alfred Hitchcock when he starts his shows out. He's got a good thing going there. I like the way he does his sound clouds. Great job.
Great comment, Wayne. And Chaos?
You got it.
I didn't catch that. I'm sorry.
I threw it on there, just sitting in silent awe. And that scream at the end. Oh, my goodness.
Right? Yeah.
Wow. that imagery is powerful. Some of those, I can't believe he managed to rhyme all this too. but crazy, bloody stuff.
I agree, yeah. And I'm noticing there that he's already won a silver award for it. Congratulations on that. Yeah, it was an excellent presentation. Okay, now let me see. I'm going to grab Wayne, and he also made us a SoundCloud, and he wrote listen to the sorrow of a violin with sobbing strings that play.
Right. Now, yeah. I've been writing a lot of dark and sad poems, and I wanted to write something that's totally different this time, so I hope y'all can understand what I wrote this, because it's kind of it's different. I would say this is different. So I hope you enjoy it.
Always do, Wayne. And it's funny, because that's where I tried to go to, and mine got changed by the Coast Guard, so you just never know. Okay, so let me find the SoundCloud mark number one, Wayne 1. Okay, here we go.
This is called Beautiful Clothes. With all her beauty, showed up wearing red, with long silky black hair on her head. Such a delicate lady, fragile and thin. And in the breeze, she showed some skin. We sat in pub, we didn't pretend, as we listened to the sorrow of a violin, with sobbing strings that play. Never will forget that romantic day. When she moved with class. Never have I seen such a perfect ass. She was smooth and had lots of style. With a crooked nose, I still loved her smile. And as she whispered in my ear, it would be Elmer Fudd that I would hear. She couldn't help it but make that sound because of her nose, what I found. Should have known it wouldn't last. Just another memory of my past. More and more money and better clothes, and have a surgeon work on her nose. Remember all the broken words that she said, and how she would snort in the bed. Didn't know it would end so soon. She was gone the next afternoon.
Wayne, it's a good thing I was muted. I literally laughed out loud when you said she whispered in my ear and sounded like Elmer Fudd. I was like, oh my gosh, that was too cool. Yeah, you have this calm music and your calm voice, and then the next thing we know, as she whispered, it'd be Elmer Fudd I would hear. Well, to that I say it's a good thing she had some really nice clothes.
Some people broken nose, but I like beautiful clothes. Instead of broken nose, I like beautiful clothes.
Like I said, I literally just busted out laughing. I would have been like really terrible to have that happen in the middle of the read. But yeah, no, it was really cool. And back to the beginning there, with all her beauty, showed up wearing red with long, silky black hair on her head. Such a delicate lady, fragile and thin, and in the breeze, she showed some skin. So, you know, I'm with you there, and I'm feeling with the music and the tone in your voice, sort of some romance. And then we were at the pub, and we're moving along here, and sobbing strings that play, that ties to the violin there, and we're moving on. and never ever seen such a perfect ass. She was smooth, had a lot of style. I mean, really, this was fun, and the giggles were appreciated, and the laugh out loud was very
because
I still have a grin on my face.
I like to hear people giggle.
Yeah, no, it was totally fun, and you're very good at making people laugh, Wayne. And sometimes you go along, and like I said, I was expecting it to continue with the romance, and then you hit us with her looks and stuff. But Elmer Fudd was definitely priceless, Wayne. Definitely priceless. This was fun, Cher. Thank you so much. Chaos, what'd you think?
Oh my goodness. Did you ask me?
Oh, yes, please.
I am muted. Am I muted?
No, you're fine.
Yeah, we hear you.
Okay. I was writing out the comment. You really threw me off guard. And it's really hard to make me laugh out loud. I am not usually a fan of humorous poetry, but you really got me off guard and made me laugh out loud.
You're almost good.
That was thank you. That was a good laugh.
You're welcome. I was trying to do my little comedy.
Well, you did it very well. I don't think either one of us were expecting
to
bust out the laughter the way we did. Really, really cool. And I'm forgetting, too, that you can't see the board here. So let me see what I see. We have great poem and SoundCloud, Wayne. And Titus said, beautiful melody to the voice. Really, really cool. I mean, really. Okay, let's see.
I think the song behind it helps.
I know, it does a lot. He does that. He'll set a tone or a mood
with
the music.
It's such a pretty melody behind there.
Yeah, and he put, like he'll come in with bluesy stuff going on, and then he'll kill the woman or something. You know, I mean, it's just that you never know what you might get from Wayne, but it's always a treat. Well, now, Cash, you get
did
to
you
go
hear, did you have a chance to hear that tribute I had to Frank? By any chance?
I did add it in.
Okay,
I added it into the studio. Yeah, I added it into the studio. We'll play that too. But Chaos, I put yours on the board if you want to read for us.
Excuse me. All right. Here's mine. I have been in all different directions lately. Picture just struck me. And the quote I did was, the morning breeze from the dell shelters the green of the sward. It was the one that included the breeze, because I needed something to do with wind. The wind warrior. Legends were made by honor when honor ruled all. They lived through their tale. One told of a girl bound to home but born to fight. Wind warrior. In secret she watched, burning as warriors trained, unseen as the wind. Under the starlight, practicing seen by the moon, she sparred with the breeze. When war reached her world and all men were gone away, she alone could fight. Faced with justice wind, the warriors dropped their guard, allowing escape. When the war ended, the village was whole again. The wind blew no more. Thank you.
I liked the tone in your voice when you were reading there.
And legends were made by honor when honor ruled all. They lived through their tale. You know, I love that you started with that because quite often we talk about the fact that a person's honor used to be way more important to them than it seems to be now. And so the fact that you started there is really awesome. It gives power to that honor. Because, I mean, if you don't have your word and honor, what do you have, really, you know? I like in secret she watched learning as warriors trained unseen as the wind. It reminds me of, what was that, Mulan, the movie Mulan?
Mm-hmm.
Where she's hiding.
I've never seen that all the way through.
I was surprised at how well they did. And she had to sit in those shadows because, you know, women weren't supposed to learn those things. They were just supposed to be around to be paired up with someone and get married and make babies and hopefully make more men who can be the warriors. And she was brilliant and powerful and winds up, I mean, I don't want to be a spoiler alert there, so I'll just say, but I think they did a really excellent job, and it reminded me of that with the grace in the lines as well as the fact that she watched from the secrets. And then towards the end, faced with just the wind, the warriors dropped their guard, allowing escape. When the war ended, the village was whole again. The wind blew no more. And tying everything to that wind was a really cool touch. I like how you took that approach. And you can see the wind in the art because of the background there and the movement in her hair. So I think that you really brought both the quote and the art to life. And like I said, there was a softness, a sombering sadness in your voice as you read, too. So I think you did a great job. Wayne, what do you think?
Well, I think it sounded almost like a recording. She read it so well. It was just the perfect smooth read. And the poem itself is more like you might have been noble and chivalrous and have honor. She did a good job building up the characters in the poem. And it was a very good poem as far as being had a good feel about being a noble poem and a poem of worthiness, and it's just a great read. And I couldn't believe the read was so smooth. Great job with this poem.
Yeah, I agree with you, Wayne. It did sound like a recording, didn't it? There was she was like the read was flawless.
Yes, it was.
And then the tone in her voice too. Great share.
Good job.
Okay, let me see what we got next here. I put Angels on, and I'll read for her. And I'm looking at the bottom here. She chose quote number 8. Listen to the sorrow of a violin with sobbing strings that play. And the poem is I Miss the Music by Heavenly Angel. And here we go. Listen to the sorrow of a violin with sobbing strings that play melancholic notes torn from the pages of our life together. This tragic melody carries through the hallways of my mind, mirrors the plump, crystalline tears cascading down my face. Sorrow pillows within my bosom, choking to the point I vomit and sweat despair. I wish heaven had visiting hours. I would give up every cent of cash I ever had to have our melody, our harmony, played again. To view your handsome face with your lopsided grin. Beneath rust-red mustache would be all the riches I need. To lay my head in your lap once again, for our song to be played once more, I would sell my soul. I miss the music of my life. Okay, well, that went really perfectly with the sobbing of that violin. The despair and the agony of missing the person and wishing to be back with them again, and the days where you feel so alone and depressed that you feel like you would sell your soul just for that moment. It's just, wow. And to view your handsome face with your lopsided grin, you could almost see, maybe not the face, but that lopsided grin, you know. I think that this was a really, really touching rite. And I often, no, I think always point out the fact that when she arrives, her poems for Mondays always have awards attached to them. And this one is a winner of twin golds there. So obviously I'm not the only one who could feel the deep sentiment in her lines. So incredible poem. Congratulations on that pair of gold award you have there. And it was my honor to be your reader, Angel. Thank you for supporting the show. Wayne, what do you think?
Well, you know, Heavenly is the best romantic poet I've ever heard. Basically, she can put romantic words together and just makes you want to sit back and just, I don't know, just to kind of ooze out of love out of her. And but this is the last poem of a lost lover from passing is even sadder. She's sad about it, but she really puts the point that how much she loves this person, or did love this person, or still loves this person, and how she would like to see him one more time, but it just can't do it. But it's a touching poem of love and love lost. And I enjoyed it a whole lot, like all her poems. It's a great job.
Great comment. And Chaos, what do you think? Unmute. Did I lose her? Nope. Chaos. Okay, I guess for some reason she can't pick up. Maybe something's happening in the background. So I will again say thank you, Angel, and congrats on those golds. And I will grab another poem. Let's see. We're doing good fitting these in here. Okay, let's see. I'm going to grab a recording so that I don't read twice in a row. I'm going to actually grab the link that Frank put on the board, and we'll figure it's a good point right here in the middle-ish to get to hear him read. And I have it there in just a second. Okay, yeah, she had to step away for a moment. So here comes the sound from Frank. And I will push play now. And Frank, here it is. Here we go.
During the evening, she hears once more the ruthless calls resonate. An ominous token of a sanitary omen, of the malediction of a family's dark secrets. When the flapping wings stir, the howling winds of death. The hour suddenly befalls the rafter of the awakened shadows of time. From the forlorn graveyard beyond the Eldritch field of buried bones, the silence of the morning solitude is interrupted by the regrets of the past. A haunting past daunted with the clamour of harrowing cries of perished souls. Dropped forever in the calligenous world of the sins of blasphemy. The pale skin and bluish hair bear the semblance of a tormenting guilt. The stains of blood are impressed in the footprints of her evil deeds. Disguised by the black long dress she wears to remember her doomed widow. the night shall bear witness to the macabre scene of ineffable screams. The continuous night of her agony and unyielding madness are tested. The calls of the crows are heard throughout the listless hammocks. The kinsfolk dare not to saunter no wind upon the solitary road of no return. For they know not where of the family curse of the Middletons. The legend evokes foul terror of the witches and warlocks of Lucifer.
I was pausing for a minute there because I expected that laugh, but I get the chills when he does that ghostly demon voice thing that he used at the end there. It was like, my goodness. And these were tight little stanzas adding to the hauntingness, the calls of the crows. Where's that? The second stanza, an ominous token of the centurial omen of the malediction of a family's dark secrets. Wow. The storyline there is pretty wicked. From the forlorn graveyard beyond the eldritch field of buried bones. The silence of mourning, solitude is interrupted by the regrets of the past. Damn. Haunting past daunted by the clamor of harrowing cries of perished souls. We're haunted throughout. Down towards the end more, or I think it's more middle-ish, the continuous night of her agony and unyielding madness attested. It's just like... It keeps hitting. We've got the haunting and the agony and the macabre scenes. He painted quite a picture here. The kinfolk dare not to saunter nor wend upon the solitary road of no return. And he sure took us down that road of no return. And then at the end there, their legend evokes vile terror of the witches and warlocks of Lucifer. I mean, wow, talk about painting a deep, dark, haunting image. And then you take a look and it's got one, two, three, it's got four awards already. Frank is definitely one of the poets who can turn around and dazzle us with the darkness in his lines. And then, as we were mentioning earlier, when AP slowed down his read, his voice always brings the creative, theatrical brilliance to the poem. No poem that I read by him anymore do I read without hearing it read in my brain to his voice. And I kind of like that. You start to get to hear the poets that we've read in our mind, and I think that adds a bit to it. So, like, great share, and thank you for sending that one in, Frank. What you think, Wayne?
Oh man, it was enjoyable. I hadn't heard Frank for a while, and he states his words so professionally, and he mentioned the words to the mood of the poem, like when he goes witches and warlocks, spreads out the words where he just kind of crossed from the profession of his voice, and the poem was meant for his voice. He wrote to his voice basically. So like to me, it's made so perfectly, and a good dark spooky poem like he does. And I was like you. I was waiting for that laugh at the end. I sent him back what was kind of cringing, waiting for the laugh, and didn't come through. But he's a master at what he does, and I enjoy every one of his poems. Good job.
Great comment, Wayne. And just in case, are you back, Chaos? Okay, I just wanted to double check real quick.
Just the two of us in the night.
Yeah. All right, let me see here. Let me grab another poem because we are
really belting them out, and that's fantastic. Let me see here. We have one, two, three. We only have five left, and one of them is the one that you, the extra one that you brought. So, okay, I'm going to put Jenny's on the board, and she wasn't able to make us a SoundCloud, so I'll read for her. And okay, now I'm looking for her, the quote. She put, the Merlot vapors of the river turned the red roses into burnt black dahlias, and the fountains of the gardens are full of midnight rain, and the tinted skies are covered with the darkness of his death, and the sonorous sounds of thunder echoes violent screams. Excuse me. Okay, and this is titled Love's Garden Tarnished by Her by Jenny the Deep. And here we go. Feeling as if he was condemned to the darkness of the centuries of endless horror, after learning the devious acts she did against him, all he sees is red as she crossed the forbidden bridge and trespassed onto another's garden. She was his angel, always high on his pedestal. Her crossing the bridge to the dark side broke him as he sank into the great divide caused by her selfish scarlet sins. He gave her everything she ever wanted. Now, as his tears rolled down to the Merlot vapors of the river, his anguish and anger turned the red roses into black, burnt black dahlias, contaminating all that they touched. The fountain of the gardens are full of the midnight rain, bleeding from the cayenne sky as memories of his once angel tormented him inside. Evaporated are his tears as they float away from the now stagnant body. The tainted skies are covered with there was no excuse, no baloney. It was her fault, period. And then she went on to tell us why and how. And the answer was in, I'm trying to put, caused by her selfish scarlet sins. And when you hear, you know, that the sins are scarlet, you're put in mind of the scarlet letter. And, you know, you have to imagine that she did him wrong for sure, and crushed his spirit, and to think of the anguish turning in anger, and the, I think the thought of that anguish and anger led us perfectly as far as the segue into the red roses into burnt black dahlias, contaminating all that they touched. Like that one bad apple that spoils everything. So I like the feel of that there. And at the end, the tainted skies are covered with the darkness of his death. That also goes perfectly with the, you know, the thunder's echo and her regret as she now watches his spirit spoil, already tarnished by her. So I like that she brought us all the way back to the end with that tarnished by her, which is where we started from with the title, that full circle feel, how she told us it was tarnished by her, and then through her words and these awesome stanzas, she explained how and why it was tarnished by her. So I think she did a fantastic job with it. And Jenny, it was my honor to read for you. Thank you for supporting the show. Wayne, what you think?
Well, talking about a lady going to the dark side and become a playing the field, I reckon, what do you call it? He had her up on as an angel. He was a perfect mate for him, and she just broke his heart completely, and his whole world has changed to the dark side. Even in death, he's deteriorating. She destroyed this poor guy, you know, crossing over the bridge to the other side to be more or less play the field, I reckon, go out and do her thing, but he just couldn't take it. And it's a great storyline in this poem, great storyline. I loved it a whole lot. The poor guy, he's still in death, he's still tortured. So he's a rough one, poor guy, but he's a good poem.
Great comment. Thank you so much. And, my sweet is here. Sweet. Hey, welcome to the show. Glad you made it.
Hey. Yeah, I don't have much time, but I thought I'd honor Frank if I could. And I wrote a beautiful poem, and then it got gone because of my computer. So I'm here for 15 minutes.
Oh, don't you hate when that happens? It's frustrating.
Oh, man, I see you.
Hi, Woodley. How are you?
Fine. My computer went down on me today, so I'm on the phone. I can't see nothing. I'm just kind of hanging here talking tonight. But I killed you when the computer dies on you. He killed me. So I got to get it fixed tomorrow.
Yeah, but you're doing
darling.
A great job when you can't even see what's going on. So sweet, did you just want to shout out for Wayne, or did you write something else?
I've got a poem, of course, about darkness and all that fun stuff. I mean, it's me, and it's, Frank.
No, absolutely. You said you were limited on time. Why don't you, is it on the board? I'll go get it, or you can put it right on the chat wall. Let me see here.
I throw it on your chat wall, but I don't want to jump ahead and be a pain. You know me.
It's just Wayne and I, and we're doing the last couple poems. We've got four more. It's all good. I just don't see. Let me refresh here because I just didn't see it. That's all.
I didn't put it on yet.
Oh, okay. Yeah, if you just put it right on the chat wall and show us what you got, dear heart.
All right. And I loved all your quotes, so I would not be able to pick one. So, I kind of incorporated like four of them in my original poem, Frank, so I really apologize. But, hey, let's all wrap them up here in the forest of death. Here we go.
Like a plan.
Fossilized branches stretched and twisted, intertwined in a dark canopy of puzzling pieces. As the wind and leaves seek an opus, quarantine in silence and onyx land, where the sun and soil lust to touch, ice is the aura in the forest of death. Audacious trees stood tall and rounded, their trunks bleeding as the names of the dead were cut and carved. Parents weeping, spouses kneeling, children pleading in the forest of horror, and the lost and the living stay unable to breathe. The leaves start singing their opus, a reminder of life's memory, ask the living to leave the blackness in the forest of death. The leaves turn gold, yellow, and red and fall on the skeletons of the people that wept and mourn alone until their death. We walk into the forest. We carve names in the tree trunks. We lay in the soil and stay in the darkness for years if we must. Listen to the leaves as they sing the opus of life, whispering up to us, celebrate all the joy and laugh what was gift. It was a gift to you in your life. And
well, sweet. Parents weeping, spouses kneeling, children pleading, a forest of horror, and the lost and living stay unable to breathe. Just that part, like the thought of those children, it was really gripping and haunting and spooky and scary all in one. And the thought of the back to the title there, the forest of death, which you brought into the stanza, the leaves start singing their opus, a reminder of life's memories, asking the living to leave the blackness in the forest of death. And then the forest is mentioned again. We all walk into the forest. We carve names into the tree trunks. We lay in the soil and stay in the darkness for years if we must, like hiding. And I wrote in my comment, oh my goodness, have I ever told you how amazing it is to listen to you read? And it's true, there's just something in your voice, especially when you're dabbling in the darkness there, because you have this soft, sultry tone that adds to the haunt. Excellent piece, sweet. Good choice to bring. Wayne, what you think?
Thank you.
I thought that was a great, great poem. It said, I don't want to go to that forest, whatever you do. I'm staying away from that place. It's too dark for me. The carving of the names of the trees and the laying in the dirt. And your voice, you do have a great voice. You kind of just take your voice, you kind of just grind it into to the person that's listening. Just kind of eat into their soul as you read it. It's great, great voice, and there's a great storyline on that. And then the place I'm never going to go to, I hope. But it's too dark for me. But a great job with this. I loved it.
Awesome comment. And like I said, it's just Wayne and I. Hatter wasn't feeling well, and most people had to do a read and run tonight. So just like yourself, I appreciate you calling in.
All right. I'll see you and Wayne soon. I love you both. I'll talk
to you
later.
How's your contest going? The thing you introduced.
It's going pretty good. I'm getting ready to write my second poem. Thursday night,
right.
We'll be talking about somebody's watching you. Somebody's always watching you. So a bunch of song lyrics, and have a little fun with that. So, all right. Everybody have a great night. I had a rough day. All right, guys. Talk to you soon.
Thank you for calling.
Bye. Bye, guys.
Night. Okay, I put the link on the board for Gerald, and he has sent us a SoundCloud, and I'm looking on the original board over here, and he chose, I don't see the quote, but that is okay. So here comes the SoundCloud from Gerald.
Space Exploration, written and read by Gerald Green. When Falcon 9s blast off and into space, fulfilling hopes and dreams of engineers, you'd think it was a contest or a race, the way they rush and cast aside our fears. The risk of death from lack of oxygen or worse from some explosion in the sky exceeds the limits of all prudent men, except the strange ones brave enough to try. Not if, but when it happens, you can bet the world will suffer with anxiety, as children cry and view it as a threat, and others feel depression's apogee. The impact will be worse than World War II, when stress kills those who fear, and maybe you. With robots getting better every year, it makes no sense to risk a human life, approving men who act so cavalier, embracing certain astronomic strife. They want to go to Mars or Jupiter and spend a year or more away from Earth, as if we can ignore what might occur to cheapen and debase what man is worth. To watch a life decline and end in days will bring more stress and grief than I can bear, when there exists so many other ways to learn about what's out there, anywhere. There is no gain, just human vanity. That seems to me quite like insanity.
Wow. That last couplet there is no gain, just human vanity. That seems to me quite like insanity. The thought process there, very true. Like, some people are so vain, you would think they were insane. Wow. But back to the rest of the poem. When Falcon 9 blasts off into space, fulfilling hopes and dreams of engineers, you'd think it was a contest or a race, the way they rush and cast aside our fears. And that gives me thoughts of how many times I've said that they don't care. As long as it ties back to the almighty dollar for them, that's all that seems to be important sometimes. A little further in with robots getting better every year, it makes no sense to risk a human life, approving men who act so cavalier, embracing certain astronomic strife. He's got a point. I often say that we've stepped so far into the machines and stuff that they stole a lot of jobs,
And of all the things and all the jobs that they give to a robot or a machine, it would make more sense to send that machine into space because it's so risky. And I mean, I realize that some of the astronauts, they sign up, and it's that risk, that adrenaline rush that drives them, and the machine wouldn't have that. But then again, the machine also wouldn't have any sentiment to battle with. They would be all about the mission and what they could find in there. So it's a good argument. Makes no sense to risk a human life. I totally agree. And to watch a life decline and end in days will bring more stress and grief than I can bear, where there exists so many other ways to learn about what's out there anywhere. I like his perspective on that, because you think about the lives lost to the what if, and to quote Star Trek, for that final frontier, and I mean, we could find out so much more from the machine. We wouldn't have to worry about whether or not there was enough oxygen in the tank and many other aspects that would tie to the plausibility of his thought process here. Really clever share. What do you think, Wayne?
Well, I think he's got a good point there, but we're just now getting into our ability to use artificial intelligence to do stuff like it was, 10 years ago, 15 years ago, it wasn't even thinkable to do that. And so he's just now getting into the realm where we might not have to use astronauts, but they give us a human touch that you can't replace with that with a machine, and that makes us kind of have that adventurous mindset where when he dies, like a part of us died because we failed, and when he succeeded, it's like we succeeded too. So it kind of gives us a still thing in life that makes us a little joy of life or a little adventure in our own lives. But artificial intelligence is going to take over everything pretty soon, and there it's already on Mars right now. They get the helicopter down on Mars. It goes, it flies around on its own and sends back data. And so and it's been there for a year and a half now. So it's already here, but it wasn't here that long ago. That long ago, we didn't have nothing that could go and land and come back and report to us and take the pictures of it and test the soil. So it's all just new technology that's going to replace man pretty soon. Probably replaces in a lot of jobs. But I like the adventure part of man going into space and conquering new areas and might come across an alien or something at the fight or something. It's kind of like a new adventure for myself. And it's when they die, like they were the ones that blew up and killed four of those 4 or 5 astronauts. It was sad and kind of broke my heart because we'd lost. It's like I lost the game. And then when they succeed, it's kind of like we won the game and give us pride. So I don't know. I'm kind of torn between both sides. Artificial intelligence is probably better, but that human touch is, you can't replace it. It's just something that you yearn for, or I yearn for. Great, great poem and great point of view.
Awesome comment. And, like I said, very, very interesting perspective, but it leaves you with food for thought. And that's a plus, You wonder what's going on, and you're left with the thought there. Okay.
Great topic.
So, yeah. All right. We have two brevities that I'll read, and then I thought it would be fitting to save your other one for the last poem because it's like in tribute. So I think that would be a perfect way to end the show. So right now I'm going to grab the link by Oliver Mallett, and I'm going to bring it to the board, and I will read that for him. And here we go. And I am looking here. He wrote to, quote, "A morning breeze from the dell shelters the green of the sward, drops in the opening the door, falling to the base of earth, silent stab confines the hanging from the rafters." End poem. I like how it started out, the pretty snow, because, snow is very pretty. It can blanket everything, and you got it twinkling in the sunshine, and it looks great. But then when you're stuck in it and like frostbite is setting in and the lips are turning purple and you feel nauseated and it's like death he sat down and described the slow death that would come from being trapped out in that pretty snow. And it's sort of, for me, like a play on Deadly Beauty, where it might look really nice, but be careful. So it's what happens behind the beauty it is pretty tragic. It was a clever brevity, and I was honored to read for him. And what you think, Wayne?
Well, I thought it was a nice little poem. It went from being kind of, like you said, kind of a nice little snowstorm to be, when you said purple lips, I thought, oh, no, that's not the place you want to be there. You know, there's no escape, and there's no way to get out, and there's no choice but to sit there and freeze to death. And it's kind of, it gives me chills just thinking about it. But, you know, you get stuck somewhere, and then you get nowhere to go, and you can't get out. There ain't nothing you can do about it. You just got to bear with it and live through whatever happens. And it's not a pleasant thought at all. But he did a good job with describing it and putting emotion into this poem. And I don't be lost about the cold and freezing. Oh, this kills me. Just think about it. But great job with the brevity and a lot of emotion in it, and a lot of good points. And he did good with this. I liked it. Good read.
Thank you, Wayne. Let me grab another. Okay, and this one is Hatter's poem. And I'm bringing it to the board now. And here it is. Okay. Just adding it now. And then we'll do the tribute that you have for him. Okay, now. This is called With All the Things We Think We Know by J. Hatter. And here we go. With all the things we think we know, the words can change if left behind. I wonder why we let them go. I'm in search to pass my time. Words that cure seek pages read. What poets mean, not what they said. Having the vision that paint the view, a wizard of words is what you do. Screaming inside a soul has died, words that finish the lines. Watching the end, I will try to pretend the ending is not mine. End poem. Oh, damn. Those last two lines there, watching the end, I will try to pretend the ending is not mine. Leaves me feeling, it feels haunted. It feels like Hatter's stress just oozed on the page and that he's filled with worry and sorrow. And my goodness, just three little stanzas, but they sure packed a punch. A soul has died. What a notion. Screaming inside, a soul has died. Words that finish the lines. Watching the end, I will try to pretend the ending is not mine. Yeah, very haunting, Hatter.
Oh, man, it's kind of sad. Kind of talk about the poet. The words he writes is not what he means, and he's gotten old and thinks his time's coming near, and it's just like he's letting the world know that it's about over with, and his time's come, I reckon. But it's sad. And I think the older you get, the more you age with your poetry, and it gets a little better. But there's a lot of sadness in it. A whole lot of sadness and pointing toward the end of the existence. So I don't know. It's a great poem, great rhyme, and it had a heavy storyline to it that you got to kind of sit and ponder. Good job, this Hatter. It's kind of germane, but it's a great poem.
I agree. My goodness. Okay, I am going to put the tribute poem on the board.
About 3 years ago, me and Frank used to go to, we used to be on shows a lot, the shows together, we'd go to shows at the same time. We were like 10 a week every one time. And I got to know Frank real well because I seen him about every night. We had two or three shows together. And so I wrote this poem about that, and so kind of, I think you'll like it.
I have it on the board, and I am about to push the recording. So here we go.
Thank you.
This is called Beautiful Clothes.
Oh, darn.
With all her beauty,
we
showed up wearing red, with long, silky black hair.
Sorry about that. I hit the wrong one. Here we go.
This is called I Shouldn't Be So Nice. When I first heard the voice, I was a little confused. I thought it must be a joke. Then became amused. I know some of his poems were written before. Started to get mad. I was just going to ignore. Started appearing on shows. I thought about getting a gun. I knew he was well-versed. This wouldn't be no fun. I thought this guy was Frank. And he really was. Decided to hang around for a while. See what he does. His poems were written at the top of the scale. Then one day I heard him read. I thought, what the hell? There had to be a secret. Or maybe I can't hear. This guy has to be kin to William Shakespeare. I couldn't like him. He was too good at his craft. Then I read a poem. I heard him laugh. Oh, he was sincere, kind, down to earth. He's a gentleman. And my bruised ego is worth it. We became friends. I feel good when he's around. I can feel his presence. He carries a wonderful sound. He can be dark. Oh, mysterious. Loud or dramatic. He can be soft, tender, stately, or romantic. So I made him a spot. One he definitely deserves. Tied so far ahead of me, I could barely observe. I patiently wait as he mystifies all during his turn. If I listen and stay close, it'd be my chance to learn. You made me a better person than I truly feel. And now I feel proud that I didn't have to kill. Hearing your words and laughter, such a thrill. I'm trying to get over it and jealous. I doubt if I will. Thank you, Frank. You're the man.
That was really cool, Wayne. And I was just looking to see what I wrote last time was, oh my goodness, this is brilliant. And your background music on the sound clip was fantastic too. I think that your respect for him shows through here. And I have to admit, I did giggle when we got to the part where you were relieved that you didn't have to kill. Yeah, I'm very glad you were able to do the tribute without having to kill anybody. I'm proud of you, too. But, my goodness, you know, I think it showed, and you ended it on the written part. Thank you, Frank, you're the man. And I say back to you, Wayne, thank you. You're the man. Even without your computer and without being able to follow along, your comments were great, and I appreciate the fact that you sat here with me all night and made sure that I didn't have to finish the show by myself. I appreciate
it. I'm with you.
Well, it meant everything, and I appreciate it. And
I'm glad to be here with you.
I was glad to have you. And next week is the makeup show that from when we did not get to do the show for Pretty Bird. So if everyone listening, when you click on, before you choose a photo, just scroll through, because many of us, including you, Wayne, have already written for this one and sent in the SoundClouds and stuff. So all you have to do next week is show up, and we will do our tributes to the incredible lines that I chose from Pretty Bird. And I have...
I live for you.
Yeah, well, at the time, I had something going on with the show just to not disappoint Pretty Bird, and then she had something going on too, and I figured, okay, it was just, I'll postpone it. And then because of the fact that we are in this particular series where each poet's looking forward to their week to see what everybody writes to for their words, I didn't want to toss the entire series back a week, so I put this one in the next available slot. And then since then, I've had other people, so we have, you know, we have some more coming up in June, and this should end in July, and I think I will have covered all the participants, and I've really enjoyed this series. It's been amazing.
Oh, yeah, it's a great series. I think that's a wonderful series. I think it's fantastic. You did a great job with this. Fantastic.
Thank you.
If I get the spotlight, if you got PRs in the spotlight, and it's just amazing what you did.
Well, it kind of felt like a way to give back to everyone for all the time that they spend supporting the shows. It was like my way of giving back. Plus, I was sitting there the one night, and I was looking up song lyrics to use as prompt, and I'm thinking, wait a minute, why am I emphasizing these songs when I'm surrounded by an idea was born? So, like I said, next week we will see what kind of poems are inspired by the amazing words of the one and only Pretty Bird. And
yeah,
on that
one,
yeah.
I wonder if we get what you do. Great job.
Thank you, Wayne. I appreciate that very much. And again, especially for sitting there all night, even though you couldn't even look at the poems. You're a doll, and I appreciate you. And on that note, thank you, Frank, for all the amazing lines that were used to inspire us tonight. We appreciate you. And thank you to the A.P. Taylor Poetry Foundation and to the board for a team of voices, A.P. Sweet Pea and Hatter. And I'd like to say thank you to Kay and Steven and Angel and Pee-wee and Titus and Jenny and Infinite Destruction and Gerald and Oliver and Chaos. And one last time again, Wayne, thank you so much. Appreciate everyone. And don't have to go home, but can't stay here because I am out of here. We are off Tuesday and Wednesday, but be sure to join in on Thursday at 10 with Sweet Pea for Is Someone Watching You, like that paranoia. And then at 9 o'clock on Friday, we have the Man Cave with Steven and Hatter. And on Saturday night at 9 also, we have Hatter and AP and myself, and the topic this week is secret rooms. Wherever your mind just took you when you heard the words secret rooms, that's what we'd like to hear about. And then again, like I said, back to Monday, featuring Pretty Bird's words. So again, you're all amazing. Appreciate you more than you could imagine. And I am going to take us out of here with a song, and I'm trying to find one right now to see what I want to, oh, I know what I want to hear. I am moseying on over there right now, and in just a second, I will push play and take us out of here. Love and respect, everyone. This is Pearl Jam. Good night.
American rock band Pearl Jam. The song is the fifth track on the band's debut album, 10, from 1991, and it features lyrics written by vocalist Eddie Vedder and the music written by guitarist Stone Gossard. Eddie Vedder was previously a guest vocalist in Temple of the Dogs, a tribute band dedicated to the late singer Andrew Wood. He's known for his powerful baritone vocals and was ranked 7th on a list of best lead singers of all time based on the reader's poll compiled by Rolling Stone. In 2007, he released his first solo album as a soundtrack for the film Into the Wild, his second album, Ukulele Songs, and a live DVD titled Water on the Road were released in 2011. His third album, Earthling, was released in 2022. In 2017, Vedder was inducted into the Rock and Roll Hall of Fame as a member of Pearl Jam. And sadly,